Hello, and welcome to Days of Our Lives, Mint's audio history series on liberalization and the ordinary man. Here, you will hear stories of how life changed for most people, be it the sunshine boy or the CEO following the reforms of 1991 in their voices.
Last you heard Ashok Kumar, a DTC bus conductor, talk about commuting and how it has changed considerably over the past 25 years. Today we bring you the story of one of India's greatest loves, cricket.
Parents today, I don't know if you've seen some parents who go to those sports academies and you know how passionate they are and how much, you know, they think that, you know, my child will make it, and you know they put so much pressure on the child. Yeah. There are parents like that, you know. Okay. Like you have parents who are pushing their kids to become doctors and engineers, yeah. You have parents who are pushing them to become cricket stars.
Why is that, sir?
There'll be money there.
There'll be money there.
Earlier it was you have to play for India and you become a billionaire. Now if you only play an IPL for 3-4 years, yeah, you're a billionaire.
The year is 1947 and India is newly independent. She had also been cleaved in three different parts in a manner that was befuddling, shocking, and not to mention gut-wrenching. More than 15 million people were displaced in one of the largest migrations known to mankind. Not to forget the million plus who were killed in the violence that followed. One of the families to move was that of Dwarkanath and Kedarnath Anand from Sialkot. A trading family, the brothers had set up a manufacturing unit for exporting sporting goods in 1931. According to an article in Mint, by the time World War II broke out, the manufacturing unit had 250 people working for it. The family eventually put down roots in 1950 and started from scratch again. Today, Sandspiral Greenlands is one of the biggest manufacturers of cricketing goods in the country. From their best-selling cricket bat, Sunny Legend, named but of course after Sunil Gavaskar, to the handcrafted cricket balls, which are now used in test matches in India, to apparel manufacturing, there is hardly a field related to cricket that they're not present in. And to think that till 1983, India wasn't even a market for them. This is the story of SG Group, of how they went from being an export-focused sporting goods company to one that is almost synonymous with domestic cricket in India. And three factors contributed to bringing about this reality: the 1983 World Cup victory, the economic reforms of 1991, and the Indian Premier League.
I am Trilok Anand, a director with Sandspiral Greenlands, working with the company for the last 42 years.
I'm Paras Anand. I'm marketing director in Sandspiral Greenlands Private Limited, and I've been in the company for 15 years, and I'm 40 years old.
The company has been working as an export company pre-partition days, yeah, grown from scratch. It was founded obviously by my father and his brother. Yeah. We started with about 50 employees in India.
Okay. Which year was this?
It was in the year 1950.
Okay.
After having struggled 2-3 years, and it took us, I think, around 10-12 years, yeah, to get the bearings right. Okay. We are in the business, yeah, of making cricket bats.
Yeah.
I mean, the cricket bats which we were used to, and we used to play with, gloves and pads and all that, were nowhere near what we have now. You know, those ones could be, they won't even find a place in the museum now, you know, because we are now in the business of fashion.
Yeah.
We are now in the business of graphic. I mean, the graphic designers are dictating us what to do.
So the bat has to look as good as it plays?
I call a bat a... She has to look beautiful. She, okay, has to look pretty. She has to look presentable. So that people are attracted to her, you know.
Yeah. And earlier they just had to be good and practical.
We are doing about 500 pairs of pads every day. About 800 pairs of batting gloves every day. About 1,000 bats every day. And about 600 balls.
So you joined in 71, you mentioned.
That's right.
So could you take us through the journey of running SG Sports in 70s and 80s?
I'll tell you that. We were a 15-20 lakh company when I joined the business.
We were primarily a export-oriented unit. So whatever we were producing, I think 85% of manufacturing was for exports.
Okay. What did export entail at that point of time?
As far as export was concerned, my dear, there was no stopping an exporter. But it was only the money part which you had to get for getting your exchange. We had to file an application to the Reserve Bank of India. We are based in Kanpur. Application used to go there. You were traveling for so many days, so many countries, so many days. This is the exchange you are allowed. So they will give you reduce that amount by something and you get that money.
And arbitrarily reduce, or there
no, they will that because there was no money there. I mean, I don't blame them. You know, we are planning our export process from April onwards till the next September, October. So we used to send the application. Whatever money used to come, go to the bank, get the money. And once you come back, you have to send the entire report, detailed report, that where you had been, how many days you spent there, how many orders you got from there, and what more are you expecting from your visit. Does it justify your visit or not? Which is pretty good, you see. It does. We do that with our executives.
While exports might not have been an issue, but imports, now they were a different matter altogether, and SG imported a lot, especially English willows. Anand tells us a story of how reforms actually dealt them a blow, as willow, which was imported without any duties, was suddenly charged.
What is it that you were importing at that point?
We were importing PU. Which was used as a fabric in leg guards,
okay.
PU for batting gloves.
Okay.
And we were importing cork wood,
okay.
Which we still have for cricket balls. We were importing a lot of willow.
I saw the stacks of English willow in the factory.
English willow has always been scarce. Mm-hmm. English willow, surprisingly, you see, the effect of liberalization, we suffered.
How?
English willow, when it was being imported under the rule, under the rigid import control rules, there was no duty on that. We had some good friends with a company called Simons. They had some good connections with the ministry and all that. They managed to make sure that, because maybe about 1 crore of willow was being imported. They said, no duty on this. No duty? Very good. Now comes the liberalization. 91, 92, willow attracted a duty of about 25-30%. I made that representation.
Just like that, in a year it changed.
Mr. Mantok Singh Aliyawala was cheering. He asked me to stop. He said, I play cricket, I don't know how to do that. You know, we have to be fair to everyone. You have had a very good run.
Okay.
I said, sir, this will not get you any revenue. He said, that's not the point.
When Kapil Dev lifted the 1983 Prudential World Cup that summer evening at Lord's Cricket Ground, not only was he giving the country a moment that would be cherished over and over in the decades to follow, but also a new passion. The victory against West Indies that day would ignite a love for cricket in India that would know no bounds. Paras Anand decodes for us the steady increase in the popularity of the game, though as his father rightly points out, it had always been a blue-eyed boy. So what if a little overshadowed by hockey? From the win to the rise of Tendulkar, the arrival of cable, endorsements, and finally the Indian Premier League, the game has only gone from strength to strength.
When did cricket become... start becoming huge?
Cricket as a game always was a blue-eyed boy,
okay.
Of the sports
in India.
In India, I tell you, because hockey was the number one sport because we were winners. Hockey remained the number one sport till 1964, when we started losing out in the Olympics.
See, we got one big push that happened in 83 with the World Cup. After we won in 83, India kept on getting better and better. You know, they were playing better against England, Australia, and West Indies also, historically the main test playing champions. So that push led to a decent growth, you know, it became the number one sport. But then the next push happened during this era where you had Sachin Tendulkar, Rahul Dravid, so all these big stars came up, and you know, the media followed them, and they were like the biggest celebrities in sporting arena. And then this era, you know, and then IPL followed.
Yeah.
At the same time, India won the T20 World Cup. That again helped.
Yeah.
Then the IPL immediately started.
Yeah.
So all those factors, till about 2012-13, cricket was just growing at consistent rate of 15-20%.
So, you know, you mentioned the media came in, TV channels came in, right? Sports channels came in, there were endorsements, cricket stars who were big started becoming bigger. How would you link all of this to the reforms process?
Definitely, you know, with the opening up of the economy, you know, you had all the satellite channels that had come in, and then there was investment happening in India,
okay. Which
was not happening earlier. And then with that investment, the sport grew.
Yeah.
So it's directly linked to that.
Yeah. Cricket and Bollywood are not just the twin passions of India, but also the twin roads which, if successfully traversed, can lead to a life of immense fame, power, and of course wealth. Paras wants you to know that yes, the money did start coming into the game by the mid-90s, but it was the Indian Premier League that made it the big bucks game it is today.
Also, if you could talk about the economic nature of the game. I mean, was cricket always a big bucks?
IPL changed that. Before IPL, what was happening was you would have a Sachin Tendulkar who would have endorsements of crores. Or you would have a Ganguly or a Dravid or a Sehwag. So there were only 4 or 5 people. Now that IPL has come in, you have people like Robin Uthappa, who's not even played 20 games for the country. Then you have Manish Pandey, who's just started playing for India. So there are so many players, Irfan Pathan, Yusuf Pathan. Those guys are nowhere in the international scene. But if you look at their lifestyle, they live like stars. You know, they're making $1 billion a year, maybe more. And so that has turned it around, and IPL is responsible for it. And that was the reason why the sport was growing.
Can you hear it ring? It makes you want to sing? It's such a beautiful thing, ka-ching. Come on, few people ever misunderstood the pursuit of wealth, but in the case of a sport, it often leads to a debate about playing for money vis-a-vis playing for the greater glory, be it of a nation or a team. The Anands weigh in with their own two bits.
You know, we started interacting with the international cricketers, Indian cricketers, since 1974-75. You know, when we were interacting with, they were not celebrities, they were cricketers, they had the blazer, the blazer, Vishwanath, Polly Umrigar, Ramakant Desai, Dilip Sardesai. These are the old Chandu Bode. These are the old cricketers who played for the passion, for the love of the game.
The change that you see is previous generation was probably not as money minded. You know, this generation, it's all about endorsements. It's all about, you know, how much am I making? What car am I driving? What house am I living in? And that's not just related to cricketers. It's the generation today.
Yeah.
That's how they, you know, because they have not seen that 80s time. Yeah, you know, obviously these guys who are 25 years old, they don't know what happened in 1980s. You know, where there was no money.
Yeah.
And at that time, if somebody had unaccounted money, he was ashamed of it. Today, it doesn't matter. Money is money.
This attitude that you have seen change towards money only, why do you think that has come about?
Yes. It's a simple example I'll give you. People like Ganguly and Dravid, you know, they're superstars. Okay, they would have made 40 crores after reaching end of their career. Today you have kids who've not even played for the country. They've just played IPL for 4, 5 years, 6 years, and they've got 40 crores.
Okay, okay. Does that take away from the dedication to the game, you think? The whole attitude, you know, if you're coming into it for money and glamour.
It's just the change, you know, from where test cricket was the ultimate test for you.
Exactly.
Now it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No matter how hard people try, you know, that's the change. It's test versus T20.
How has that impacted the way SG functions?
See, we were very, very traditional.
In
as
what
a company,
way?
You know, the policies that we had, and if we've been doing certain things a certain way, we were really fixed on those things.
Could
that
you give us an example?
You know, when I'm saying traditional, it relates to even the product, you know, the colors that you have in the product, right? And, you know, how you're dealing with, there's a set pattern of dealing with your distributors that, no, we will not change, we will not budge. This is what we've been doing, this is what we'll do. So that was test cricket strategy. Now what is T20?
Any relationship marked by intense passion seesaws between extremes, extreme adoration and extreme anger. It's the same with sports, perhaps even more pronounced in it. But even as India discovers the joy of cricketing again, following the team and especially Kohli's performance during the T20 World Cup, there are signs, albeit very, very faint, of the first stirrings of change.
You see, badminton has picked up. You have Indian stars coming up in badminton. Football is becoming very popular.
Uh-huh.
You talk to kids in cities like Delhi, Bombay, Bangalore, even tier 2 cities. You know, the kids who are, boys who are from 8 to 15 years, they're following more English Premier League or the Spanish League than they're following the IPL.
Yeah.
So, and that's where, and these are the people who are upper middle class. You know, they are the kids who have resources. So, you know, now there is challenge for cricket.
Okay.
The story of SG mirrors the story of cricket in India as not just a sport, but also a passion. It's been an extremely profitable ride and the Anands are no doubt strapped in for a long jaunt. Interview conducted by Nikita Doval. This podcast has been produced by Anik Biswas.